Is that a Star Trek collector's set behind you?
Well, it's a toy from the Next Generation. It's the first like line of toys that they put out.
And you never opened it? Because
I never opened it. Well, my dad had like a box of these old toys. I had this when I was a kid, and he would like buy them on sale in hopes that they would be worth like millions of dollars someday. And it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. But this is Worf. You know Worf? Yep.
And then you had the best starship captain ever, the guy who actually knew what he was doing. And you know, Captain Kirk he'd let the ship burn for the woman.
He's a hothead. He's a little bit too much of a hothead. I don't know if I want to go there, but you've got a little bit of a Jean-Luc Picard thing going on with your look. I don't know.
Just a little.
Yeah.
The good liars.
This is boring. Boring. I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
All right. Well, I want to welcome to the show Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. Senator, thank you so much for joining us here.
Good to be here, Jason.
So we are now in week two of the government shutdown. And from your perspective, what do you hope Democrats are going to accomplish with this?
Fixing people's health care. I mean, that's what this is all about. The premiums are about to go up by a lot. In Alaska, there are people that got letters already from $600 a month to $4,000 a month. I was talking to a woman in my state, Robin, in northern Arizona. She's going to see her premiums. The expectation for her is $250 a month to $1,040. She's on a fixed income. She's like 60, 61 years old. She can't afford this. Unaffordable. These people have to start making decisions about, do I make my car payment? Can I pay rent? Can I buy food? Can my kid, you know, be on the soccer team this year? We don't have to do this. And we can fix this if we're willing to work together on this. And I think the really sad thing about this whole thing is that these premium tax credits went away so they could pay for part of the big tax break for billionaires that they put in the president's bill.
Yeah. And so what vibes are you getting from Republicans in the Senate? Because I've heard that a lot of them don't want these subsidies to go away. This is actually be very bad for them politically. Are you getting the vibe that they want to come to the table and fix this?
Some of them. Yeah. I mean, when you have Marjorie Taylor Greene on multiple cable shows talking straight to camera about why this is a dumb idea to raise these prices on people when prices on everything else have gone up too, prices on rent, utilities, and food all higher. She's hearing from her constituents. I'm hearing from mine. When you have both sides of the aisle, I mean, we're on different, in different universes politically.
Right.
And in the Senate here, I've got Republican colleagues that are, hey, we have to fix this.
Yeah.
This needs to be fixed.
But have you heard just in conversations that you're having, are you getting that vibe that they want to come to the table on this or they're okay. So why isn't that happening right now?
Well, you got other forces here. You got the White House saying we have to open the government before there's any negotiation. Yeah. And you have other members of Congress, like the Speaker, who left. Well, I mean, he's here, but he let his Republican colleagues and everybody else, abandon ship, essentially. I mean,
right.
America's health care is sinking. And what does the Speaker of the House do? He essentially abandons ship. He sends his crew. He sends those House Democrats and Republicans. And the Democrats mostly stayed here. Republicans went home on vacation.
Right.
So he doesn't want to deal with it. So you have that dynamic over there. And over here you have a Speaker or a Leader Thune, Democratic leader in the Senate, basically doing whatever the White House is telling him to do, which is right now that we can't try to fix this until the government's open. But we've been asking them to negotiate on this for months. And the only negotiation we got so far from the White House is in the Oval Office with Jeffries and Schumer and Thune and Johnson and the president for 1 hour last week. One lame hour.
We saw that with Trump. He had his Trump 2028 hats. I mean, was there anything that you wished you saw from Democratic leadership there, you know, sitting in the Oval Office with Trump, you know, basically giving a hat that's saying I'm going to go against the Constitution and run for president again? Was there anything visually that you wished you saw in that moment?
I don't know what they could do, you know, at this point. It's all theater for him.
Right.
I mean, he's a reality TV show guy. He's trying to put on a show. Do you want to participate in the show, or do you want to spend the 1 hour you're going to get trying to solve this problem? I think they did the right thing in trying to solve this problem. And, you know, I think that the hats, my understanding, were actually on the chair when they walked in. And they just picked him up, put him on his desk.
Could have picked him up and thrown him in the trash, I guess. But Donald Trump and Republicans, they're saying that Democrats are shutting down the government because they want to give health care to undocumented people. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that is objectively a lie. And I'm wondering, what are you saying to your Republican colleagues when they're willfully lying to the American people and creating a narrative that's just not true?
Well, we'll talk to them about the law. I mean, it was passed in 1996 when Newt Gingrich was the speaker and Trent Lott was the majority leader. So you had a Republican Congress and you had Bill Clinton in the White House. And they passed a law that said undocumented people can't get Medicare, Medicaid, food assistance, government housing assistance. And then this later, after the Affordable Care Act, was built over that framework. So it applies to the Affordable Care Act. So you're right. They are lying about this. Now, they'll sometimes try to muddy the waters here with the emergency room. They'll say, what about the emergency room? That was a Reagan administration thing where they passed a law that said emergency rooms have to treat people who are having emergencies. Like, we can't get into this business of when somebody comes in and they're in a car accident and they're a kid and they say, oh, well, you're from Europe on vacation. We can't treat you. I mean, so we treat people in emergency rooms. So that's the thing they do to, you know, to try to muddy the waters here. But the law is that undocumented people do not get this benefit.
It's like you're going into negotiations when somebody is saying something kind of in bad faith, where they're going out there and they're saying, and he's put out all these memes that we don't have to talk about because the whole point of putting those out is he wants to get people talking about that and not the actual substance of things. But how do you negotiate with somebody who is kind of doing this in bad faith and saying to the public something that is objectively not true? Well, how do you meet them there? Well, remember
what a lot of these politicians here in Washington, I'm new here, but what a lot of these folks do is they say one thing in public, you get them in the room to do the negotiation, and they generally stick with the facts and the truth. And you could have serious conversations about these issues and you can solve problems. This is complicated because the government is shut down. Now, remember, Republicans own the House, the Senate, the White House. This is on them. They broke the healthcare system for people who get benefits to get their healthcare through the Affordable Care Act. They broke that. We are trying to put the pieces back together here. And we can solve this in the next couple of days if the president is willing to do this. Ultimately, I think this ultimately comes down to him. He said a couple things that were positive. He said, well, maybe we just extend these premium tax credits. Now he has to put the pressure on Mike Johnson and John Thune to do this and to come to the table. We're having conversations about it. That's a good thing.
Well, I guess on that note, like how many Republicans in the Senate and the House do you think are motivated by fear of Donald Trump? Fear that Donald Trump is going to go after them on a Truth Social post, do something to sabotage their campaign, have somebody primary them, maybe fear for their safety. I don't know. How much of the Republicans' motivation is actually like the motivation of fear of Donald Trump?
I think a lot of them are concerned they're concerned about how much damage he can do to their political futures. I know that. I can't give you an exact number. Every so often there's somebody that'll pop their head up and it's like a, you know, whack-a-mole. They get knocked down. It sends a message. How often does somebody really stand up to him for an extended period of time? You don't see it very often.
Is that something you hear behind the scenes, like talking like off the record with people? Do you hear people who say they are afraid of Donald Trump, Republicans?
People don't like to admit that. They don't. They will not admit that privately. They will admit that this is an unconventional president. And I've heard others say, well, we've got 3.5 years, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's hats that say otherwise there.
Yeah, we've got 3.5 years. We're going to move on from this. They understand he is like no other president. I mean, in so many ways, right? The amount of grift, the amount of money that is flowing into his bank accounts and his family's bank accounts because he is president of the United States.
Wait a second. Are you saying that you don't own the Trump meme coin? You didn't buy any of that? You didn't invest in that?
Nor do I have my own meme coin.
Okay.
Or stable coin. You know, I put all my stuff in my wife's. We've got all our stuff. All of our finances are in a blind trust.
Okay. Yeah.
Qualified blind trust instead of a checking account. I have a public schedule. I don't take corporate PAC money. Of 535 members of Congress, I'm the only person that does that. There are others that have blind trust. I'm trying to get members to stop trading stocks.
Yeah, well, that obviously is a huge problem. Is there
people side hustle here in the United States Congress with the amount of information we have ahead of the public? You shouldn't have the side hustle, you know, to make yourself more money because of information that the public doesn't have. It should be against the law.
Why isn't that more popular besides the obvious fact that people like want to profit from it? Members of Congress, House and the Senate. Why isn't that the law? It seems like a no-brainer.
Well, I think it's the thing you just said, because there are some people that realize this is like, I can help my financial situation out, and they're currently not breaking the law. It's not insider trading, you know, for a member to be making decisions about their stock portfolio.
Yeah, it's not, but it kind of is. I mean, there's got to be another word for it that is just that it's.
Well, we have to make it against the law. It's not fair. I mean, it's wrong. I think the right word is it is wrong for members of Congress to profit because of their position.
Now, I want to ask you about the Democratic Party as a whole right now. Now, there's a CBS poll that came out last week that said the Democratic Party has a 33% approval rating with 59% disapproving. What do you think the problem is with the, not just like the Democratic brand, but with Democrats in general? Why do you think the approval ratings are at historic lows right now?
Well, so I don't want to be in the business of making excuses. We've got a lot of things to fix. But keep in mind, we lost a huge election. I mean, not 10 months ago.
Right.
I mean, so significant that we lost an election that put a convicted felon back into the White House. People are unhappy about that. You know who's really unhappy about that? Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are really unhappy. You know who's also who is in that poll you mentioned? Democrats are polled. Democrats are unhappy with the Democratic Party
because Democrats lost, but there's also, you know, there's things. Now, I think a lot of people are like, they want to see more action. And like, how would you rate the reaction of the Democratic Party to Donald Trump thus far?
Well, I mean, they want to see us fighting, and they should. Yeah. And we are. I mean, I'm up here every single day, you know, here in my office fighting to fix this looming disaster for people's health care. Where are my Republican colleagues? Well, the Republican House members from Arizona, they're in Arizona. They're hanging out at home. They're on an extended summer vacation. They've worked 14 days since the third week in July. They're just getting more time off. We're here fighting. And I think the American people want to see that. And I hope they do see it. I think it's also important to remember that the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. So they've got the levers of our government right now, and they're
but there's a lot of people. I mean, it's just people I talk to, you know, and looking online, there's a lot of people, Democrats, who are upset with the party's just reaction to Donald Trump thus far. And I guess an example
they
of that,
they want to see us fighting harder. And so, I tell you, I wish there was more. Trying to silence these alerts. I wish there were more hours in the day, more days in the week, so we could be. This is kind of like a 24/7, you know, thing for me now. And we're fighting. We're trying to fix this healthcare situation. We've got rising costs for people across the country, utility costs, groceries. I mean, everything is going up. This president said he was going to fix it. He doesn't care about fixing it. You know, he cares about making sure that he's on the, you know, the front wave of, you know, what's the next thing after the meme coin.
Right.
You know, he wants to enrich himself. Yeah, he wants to figure out what that next thing is, so he takes care of himself and the people around him.
So NBC News reported that the Trump administration is seriously considering invoking the Insurrection Act. And I'm wondering, if the Trump administration invokes the Insurrection Act, what would the response be from Senate Democrats?
It would be a... I mean, not unprecedented, right?
Do not say, write a strongly worded letter, please. Please. Okay.
I mean, we're going to fight them on it. I mean, this whole thing in Portland is ridiculous. I was talking to Jeff Merkley, one of the senators from Oregon, yesterday. This thing is this area is 1/20th of a square mile where this is happening. It is one block.
Yeah. It's the park there and the.
And people come out and a lot of them are just yelling. That's, they're right, free speech. They get some agitators, a couple come out and throw some rocks and sticks. And Donald Trump is trying to send in the military. He's talking about sending in the 82nd Airborne. This is ridiculous that he would do this. This is not an insurrection. This is not open rebellion. It would be against the law for him to do this, to invoke the Insurrection Act, because it's not an insurrection.
So and what would the response be from Senate Democrats?
We are going to fight him on this.
What does that look like? The fight, you know?
So we can hold up activity in the Senate. I mean, what does a fight look like? Well, right now you're seeing one. They were about to stick it to the American people on their healthcare costs, and we're not allowing it. And now the government shut down. We can fix this. We can fix both of these things. Let's fix the healthcare problem and we'll get the government back open. I mean, that's what this fight looks like. A fight on him, you know, on the, you know, insurrection in Portland or Chicago. He's talking about jailing J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago. This guy is, I mean, there seems to be no boundaries in what he will do to try to take all the levers of power and try to go after what he perceives as his enemies. They're not his enemies. We can have political differences. I am not an enemy of Donald Trump. I mean, he's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Politically, we're in opposition to each other. That's one of the things that makes this country so great. We have two political parties that keep the other parties in check. You do not want a, you know, country here, you know, with just one party, even if it's the Democratic Party. You know, we need, you know, some balance here. So we kind of stay in the middle somewhere and do things that are in the best interest of the entire country. I think the president or the Republicans with this president have gotten really off track.
And before I let you go, you were an astronaut, Senator Kelly, and you've been to space. And I just have to say, from our point of view, we've traveled to a lot of Trump rallies. We've been to a lot of events out there, and we've talked to people who believe the Earth is flat. Have you ever encountered flat earthers before?
Yes.
Never approached you? What's your response to them?
Well, one thing, it depends on how long I want to talk to him for. I've talked to a few of them. You know, one thing I'll say to him, I say, hey, have you ever looked up at the moon? And they'll say, yeah. I say, does the moon look flat or round to you? And they'll say, round. And I say, well, why would the moon be round and the earth be flat?
Well, hey, I've talked to flat earthers and they'd say the earth is round, but it's also flat. It is it's a sphere. It's like that a is plate. Round. Yes, it's like a plate. Yes. So I have a counter for you.
Four giant turtles. If you look at the moon in just binoculars, you do not need a telescope. It's obvious that it is a sphere when you're looking at it.
And I think you have to convince me, but I'm just wondering if you've encountered it because I've encountered it.
The other thing I've told them, I said, hey, if you want to do an easy experiment, here's what you do. If we're in like Arizona, call somebody you know in New York, tell them to put a stick in the ground when the sun is at high noon. Take a picture of the shadow, have them on the phone. You do the same thing in Arizona. What's the shadow going to look like? You're going to have a shadow. If you do it in the noon in New York or DC, you do it in Arizona, you're going to have a shadow, you know, heading west. You're not going to have a shadow at all at noon.
I hate to break it to you. I talked to somebody at a flat earth convention who said, everybody has their own sun and everyone has their own moon. So it's just a projection. They gave me this whole explanation that everyone has their own sun and moon.
There's billions of suns that just follow us around over our
heads. Millions, you know, billions. You're right. I'm sorry. Billions. Yeah. Billions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your head will explode if you try and go too far down that. And I have to ask you, so you were in space. As someone who was in space, did you ever have an experience where you thought we're not alone in the universe?
I think that all the time. I mean,
but did you ever see something something that you're like, I can't explain that. I think that we are not alone in the universe.
No.
Wow. There was a long pause there. I don't know. we put you on a lie detector for this?
Yeah, some of the weird stuff, you know, it has nothing to do with this, but you see like meteorites, but they're below you hitting the atmosphere. It's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, you look out, the stars don't twinkle. They're like dots.
Yeah.
Just solid dots. But when you consider there's 2 trillion galaxies in the universe, and each of those galaxies have about 400 billion stars, right? So that's, you know, what, 2 × 10⁻¹⁴ times 4 × 10⁻¹⁰.
I'll trust you on that. I'm not
which
sure.
It's like 8 × 10⁻², which is 23 zeros before you get to the decimal point with an 8 on the front. That is a lot of stars. And then every one of those stars probably has a few planets.
So you've never had an experience, yes or no? Yes or no? Have you had an experience?
I've never had an alien experience. I have talked to people, like there's a couple Navy F-18 pilots. You know, where you see that tic-tac, you've seen it on like cable news.
Yeah.
Hard to explain. We still do not have an explanation for this. They are very trustworthy and believable people, the two of them. I've spoken to both of them. We don't have an answer for that. Do I think aliens are coming here visiting our planet? When we just think from our ability to get to the next closest thing 4 light years away, Alpha Centauri, with our technology. Now, certainly a civilization that's a million years ahead of us will have much better technology, but it would take us 50,000 years to get there at the speed that we can travel at. But sure, if there are aliens out there, they could probably travel a lot faster. My answer is, I don't know. I don't think we have enough evidence yet to say there is intelligent life in other parts of our galaxy. Forget about other galaxies, because they don't matter. Right. Some of those galaxies are moving, this is hard to wrap your head around, moving away faster from our galaxy, faster than the speed of light. They're moving away from us. Now, they're not essentially traveling faster than the speed of light in the conventional sense. But the universe
expanding.
Is expanding. Yeah. So space itself is expanding. So the distance between the two galaxies is getting further away faster than light can travel. So what that means is even if you could travel 99.99% the speed of light, there's no chance to ever get to these other galaxies. And eventually all these galaxies are infinitely far away from each other.
Last question. This is a moment of truth. Okay. I want to pull up a picture. This is your portrait. from NASA in 2005. This is from 2005. This has the mustache.
The mustache.
I have to know, is the stash going to come back at any point?
I don't think so. I got rid of it the day my brother launched into space for a year because I wanted people to think that we switched places. Like did he just go and stay and the other brother went on the Soyuz from Baikonur in Kazakhstan? I was there for the launch and I was just messing around with people, but I don't think I'm going to bring it back because it's probably if I brought it back, it would be white.
All right. Well, yeah, this could be the jump start the Democrats need. You bring back the mustache. You're the guy with the mustache in the Senate. It's a whole new identity for the Democratic Party.
You were going to show
it out there.
I have another one of my NASA portraits like that in the launch and entry suit, that orange suit. We call it ACES suit, where I think Ted Cruz did this, where he gave us all the sombrero like he did with like the president, then with Speaker Jeffries, but mine is in my NASA portrait wearing the sombrero. I thought what you were going to show.
I'm not going to give any oxygen to that stuff. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. All right. Well, Senator Mark Kelly, I want to thank you for joining us here. Do you have any words of wisdom for the audience before we get out of here?
Hang in there, vote, get your friends and neighbors to vote. It is so important. We have to win this next election. I mean, as long as you're going to vote for like Democrats like me.
Okay.
If you're going to vote for the other person, I don't know. The election's
stay at home. Yeah. December 4th this year for the election. All right, Senator Mark Kelly, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.